This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
The entrance is wide, so you can come as you are with no change necessary. The way is easy, and you can make your own rules. You can believe whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. There's no objective truth on this path. Another reason people take the wide gate and the easy way is that that's the direction people are traveling, as I mentioned, by default. It's the direction that we're hardwired to go because of our fallen nature.
The current worldview is that you make your own rules. This sounds the most loving and the most tolerant to people. But Pastor Dave has a message for you today that tells you the opposite. This easy, wide, tolerant road that so many are falling prey to is a road that leads you away from God and His best for you. The narrow, less attractive road is actually what God wants you to walk through, even if it has a high level of difficulty. Which road will you choose to walk in for life? Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he continues his message, Which Way to Heaven?
All of Jesus' instruction throughout the Sermon on the Mount gives us kind of our packing list. You know, when you go on an airplane, right, you know, certain rules and regulations. You know, you can't bring anything on a carry-on bag that's beyond like 3 ounces or something of liquid, right? There's certain things you can bring and certain things you have to put in different luggage or even leave behind. Jesus gives us our packing list of what will fit through this gate and what needs to be left behind. Well-known preacher of last century, Alexander McLaren, he used to say that the first two Beatitudes are the signposts of this narrow gate. These two Beatitudes, if you remember, are the call to a poverty of spirit and mourning over our sin. And this truly is a narrow gate because no one loves and desires in and of themselves naturally a poverty of spirit. And no one naturally in and of ourselves desire to mourn over our sins. But we need to come to God holding nothing in our hands but our inadequacy and our consciousness of our sinful state. Like the song says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But these two gates, this wide gate and this narrow gate, are only the starting point. The journey isn't over once we get through the gate. Because beyond these respective gates, there are two ways. We have two gates, and then beyond those gates, we have two different ways. The wide gate, according to Jesus, leads to the easy way. Again, it just sounds so appealing. Who doesn't want the easy way? Of course we want the easy way. Right? The way's easy because just like the wide gate, there's no restrictions on what anyone believes or how anyone acts. Any behavior that seems acceptable to you is just fine. It's all about what you want. Like the Burger King slogan, right? Have it your way. There's no need to change your lifestyle. If it feels good to you, do it. And many people love this path because it makes them feel like I have freedom. No one's telling me what to do. I'm my own man or my own woman, as the case may be. They're free from the shackles of imposed morality. They now consider themselves to be open-minded and tolerant, quote-unquote, tolerant of others who, like them, follow their own path and believe their own truth. C.S. Lewis commented on this idea in his autobiography. He said this. He said, I was soon, in the famous words, altering I believe to one does feel, and oh, the relief of it. From the tyrannous noon of revelation, I passed into the cool evening twilight of higher thought, where there was nothing to be obeyed and nothing to be believed except what was either comforting or exciting. And this is where so many in our world are today. And this is, again, our default GPS direction is right there. Right there. I think you'll agree, we see this mindset rampant in our world today. Well, it's easy to see this issue in the world outside the church. We have to be careful of letting the influence of that way creep into the church as well. We need to examine ourselves. Because so often we can have the mentality, whether we would ever say this out loud or not, we can live as if our mentality is, well, I'm okay with following Jesus as long as it's not too inconvenient. So the question is, as we examine ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, do I claim to be a Christian, and yet my life is ultimately indistinguishable from that of the world around me? As Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, living the way of the world and the life of the world in a different setting does not make us a Christian. My wife reminded me, as we were kind of discussing this passage, my wife reminded me of a message we heard while we were away in Indiana at our counseling conference. The pastor in the Sunday morning service mentioned, he talked about a person who went to the zoo, a young boy, I think, who went to the zoo. He said, and can you imagine if he went up to the zoo, and I don't remember exactly how the story went, but essentially went up to the alligator pit, and inside he saw ducks. Or he went up to the tiger cage, and inside the tiger cage was a monkey. Well, he would be very confused because that's not what is advertised, right? And so when we are living like the world, but yet coming in and proclaiming to be a Christian, it's false advertising. We're proclaiming to be something that we are not, and we're giving Christ a bad name by taking on his name, but yet living like the world. As we come through the narrow gate, if we go through onto the hard way, which we'll talk about in a minute, we need to live our old self outside. We're told in Scripture to put off the old man, to put on the new. Our old self has no place in the kingdom. So that leads us to the hard way. And it being the hard way doesn't sound too good. No one wants to go the hard way. In the movies, right, you have an enemy combatant or enemy soldier or spy or somebody is captured, and they have them in this interrogation room, you know, they got the bright lights on them, and they're saying, you need to tell us the plans of whatever. And the guy says, I'm not going to talk. And you see the protagonist, you know, the interrogator says, all right, well, there's two ways we can do this, right? We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. And the way he says it, you know, this guy's not going to enjoy the hard way, right? No one wants the hard way. The picture here of this hard way is like a narrow and difficult path between two cliffs. It's a restrictive walk, a restrictive path that's not just restrictive as you go in, but the entire way. It isn't like you can squeeze through the gate and then the road opens up and it becomes this nice, wide, inclusive path. The way is difficult because it requires, as Jesus himself has said in this Sermon on the Mount, a righteousness that exceeds that of the religious people. And it's difficult because it requires a change in our behavior. We see this truth throughout the Sermon on the Mount, right? Because of this difficulty, people choose not to travel that path. Jesus himself said, count the cost. So people say, you know what? Not worth it to me. I'm going to go this way. They think this narrow path is just too confining. People who walk that path are too narrow-minded. Now, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, or if you were here the night that we had the showing of the movie, you may remember a scene where Christian and his friend Hopeful, they go off the path. They're on the path that the evangelist told them to go on, but they go off this path, and they jump over the fence because the path on the other side looked much more appealing. It looked like a much easier walk. They were walking on this hard, kind of craggy, uneven path, and as they jumped over the fence, there was this lush, beautiful green field. And of course, if you remember the scene, they ended up being captured by giant despair and imprisoned in Doubting Castle until they were freed by the key of faith. As Jesus describes the two gates and he describes the two ways, he also reminds us that there's two groups. There are two different groups. In verse 13, in talking about this wide gate and the easy way, Jesus says that those who enter by it are many. Those who enter by it are many. And we've seen many of the reasons why people choose the wide gate and the wide path. They choose it very much because the entrance is wide, so you can come as you are with no change necessary. The way is easy, and you can make your own rules. You can believe whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. There's no objective truth on this path. Another reason people take the wide gate and the easy way is that that's the direction people are traveling, as I mentioned, by default. It's the direction that we're hardwired to go because of our fallen nature. So consider back to that first Palm Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and all the people are celebrating. They're throwing the palm branches in front of him as he's coming in. They're celebrating him as the coming king that they've been waiting for. And they're all excited. They're yelling Hosanna, praising God, for their king is finally come. But when it turned out that he wasn't the kind of king that they wanted, or the kind of king that they were expecting, they turned against him like that. They wanted Jesus. They wanted the king, but they wanted him on their own terms, because that's how people are when they go through the wide gate and continue on the easy path. It's my way or the highway. As long as you're tickling my ears, doing the things I want, we're good. As soon as you're not, you're making me uncomfortable, I'm out. The narrow gate is small and it's easily overlooked. No one's going to find it unless they're actively seeking it. All others are going to travel that wide and easy path. It's the natural way to go. And you know what? You have plenty of company along for the journey. It's interesting, isn't it, that every generation, as we, you know, have kids and we see them growing up, and you know, they have this desire to be different, to kind of make their own statement in the world. They're going to be their own kind of people, and they all want to be different than their parents. And it seems that all of them that want to be different end up being different together. All the kids end up kind of, you know, because there's comfort in the crowd. They just want to be different than mom and dad, right? But there's comfort being a part of the crowd. And let's face it, the wide and easy path is what you see all over the movies, on TV. It's what's advertised on the billboards. It's what's taught in the schools. It encourages you to follow your feelings, and there seems to be no wrong answer, as long as you don't tell someone else that they can't have their answer, right? In contrast, Jesus says of the narrow gate and the hard way that those who find it are few. See, this is a pattern throughout Scripture, right? Only a relative few will be saved. We see this all throughout Scripture. Just a couple of examples. When God judged the world in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, when he judged the world with the universal flood, right, the story of Noah, we know that he saved 8 people in that ark, Noah and his family. 8 people were saved. All the other millions were lost. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt, the majority of the people rebelled against his leading, and so he allowed only the two who were faithful. Of that initial generation, he only allowed 2 to enter the promised land, while hundreds of thousands died in the wilderness. And since Jesus says that the narrow gate must be found, it implies strongly that there must be effort extended to find it. Jesus was asked in Luke 13:23, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" To which he responded, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." But even those who strive, according to what Jesus says here, will not necessarily be saved. He went on to say, "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." So clearly, it's not just about effort, but about the right kind of effort. Matthew 5, 6, one of the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Similarly, in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." But as I mentioned before, this is not natural for us. This is not something we just fall into. Our natural bent is towards sin and self. It's God who opens our eyes by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And although God opens our eyes, we still need to walk through the gate. God is sovereign, but man is still responsible. And if you've been given eyes to see and ears to hear, you need to respond. But if the wide gate leads to the easy road and it's the way that most others will be going, you know, that sounds kind of appealing, right? You got a nice wide gate, nice easy road, plenty of company. Why should we even bother worrying about the narrow gate and the hard way? Maybe we should just leave well enough alone. I mean, who really wants a harder road? Who searches for a way to squeeze through the narrow gate that's going to require you to leave things behind? Now, that might be a good point, except for the last thing that I want us to notice from this passage. These two gates, these two ways, and these two groups don't end up in the same place. We need to understand there are two destinations. There are two destinations. Now, I'm pretty confident that as we were coming back from Albany, as we were in the van, you know, taking our trip back, I'm pretty sure that there's no one who was in the van, no one that was in the van with me would have cared how little traffic we had to deal with or how smooth the roads were or how pretty the scenery was if we didn't actually get home. All the rest is meaningless if it doesn't get us to the right destination. And Jesus tells us that the wide gate and that easy road lead to a destination of destruction. And that doesn't sound too good. Now you go, wait a minute, okay, now I'm not so sure. Paul gives us a little more detail in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. He says this, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Whew, that really doesn't sound too good. That's what awaits those who, according to Paul, do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. John describes the end of this, the way of the wide gate and the easy way as a lake of fire. Again, that doesn't sound too appealing to me. Revelation 20:15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So man, the easy way isn't looking so good anymore. That wide gate isn't looking too appealing. That easy path isn't looking too enjoyable with that kind of destination. Praise God, there's another option. The narrow gate and the difficult way, according to Jesus, lead to life. And this life is the everlasting life that's received by the sheep in Matthew chapter 25. And in that passage, it says that the wicked go into eternal punishment, but the righteous, those who have entered through the narrow gate, those who have followed the difficult path, go on to eternal life. This eternal life is also the gift of God that's promised in Romans 6:23. Many of you know this verse by heart. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Right? The free gift of God. That verse, Romans 6:23, is the last verse in Romans chapter 6. And earlier in the chapter, we get a good deal of information about those who are going to receive that free gift of eternal life. According to verses 3 through 7, that life is given to those who have been set free from sin. Verses 17 and 18 add that it's for those who have become slaves of God and of righteousness. Verses 20 through 22 adds also that it's for those who have borne the fruit of sanctification. That means being set apart and growing to be more like Christ. And again, the Holy Spirit is the one who does that. This is a glorious reward at the end of a difficult road. But eternal life is not something that merely is in the future. It also is gives us abundant life now. Despite the difficult road, despite the troubles and tribulations, despite the persecution that comes in from outside, there it can be peace and joy. Someone, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, someone when we were away in Lafayette pointed out in one of their messages that, you know, we think of peace as like a pretty, you know, nice little still lake with, you know, maybe some birds sitting around and beautiful trees and a clear sky. But he said the real picture of biblical peace is the storm when the disciples are being tossed around in their boat. And in the midst of this incredible storm and everything's going crazy and they think their world's coming to an end, Jesus is sound asleep because he's in control. That's real peace. Real peace we can have in the midst of the storm. But another sobering thought of these words of Jesus regarding the way that leads to life, those that find it are few. Those that find it are few. So we've seen in these two verses that Jesus describes two gates, two ways, two groups, and two destinations. However, many in our world will say that much like our trip from Riverhead to Albany, there's many roads that'll get us to our desired destination. There's many ways we can get to God or to heaven. Many say it doesn't really matter what you believe, but whether or not you're sincere, I assure you, you can be sincerely wrong. I can believe with all of my heart that I can fly, but the truth will be known when I jump off the roof. Jesus tells us there's only two roads. One road leads to life, otherwise known as heaven. The other road, although populated with people from all different walks of life, having all different sets of beliefs, that other road leads to destruction. So we have to ask ourselves, I want to ask you, have you entered through the right gate? Are you on the right way, the way that leads to life? And I want to tell you, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the narrow gate. And the way he provides is a narrow one because not only does it go through him, but also he requires that we obey his commandments. Listen to Jesus' last words to his disciples before he went back to heaven to sit down at his Father's right hand. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, meaning obey, all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. These verses are a call to action. When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, consider me. He didn't even say, admire me. What did he say? He said, come and follow me. He also said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, I want to be clear, because this passage has such an idea of obedience. Our obedience doesn't earn us our standing with God. Right? It's evidence of a change that has occurred in our hearts. When we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, again, holding nothing but our own inadequacy and our own consciousness of our sin, we come to him in repentance and faith, we begin to be transformed. First of all, at that moment, we are transformed from death to life. We're told that the old is gone, the new has come. We are now a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. At that time, as we begin to grow, as we begin to be transformed, we begin to love the things that God loves. We begin to hate the things that God hates. And this leads us to obey. Now, you can still fall, even if you're on the narrow way. You can still fall. But if you realize that you've fallen, 1 John 1:9 is so instructive for us because it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He picks us back up and nudges us forward, brushes us off. So will you be among the few, or are you among the many? Enter at the narrow gate. Call out to God to forgive you of your sin because you're trusting in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And then let the Holy Spirit lead you along the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the gospel. I thank you so much for the narrow gate. You didn't have to give us any gate, but you gave us yourself. You sent your son to die on the cross for our sin, to go to his death, to his grave, to be buried for 3 days, to rise again, showing that you accepted that sacrifice, that we can now walk in newness of life as we identify with your death, as we trust in what you accomplished. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has not entered in through that narrow gate, that is not walking on that difficult path, that he would come and talk to us, that she would come and talk to us, that we would be able to point out through the scriptures how they can walk in newness of life, that they can be on the right road, the road that leads to life. We just thank you, Lord, for all of your grace and all of your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
You've been listening to Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook. Thanks for tuning in. As we study the powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes, we pray that his words would positively impact the way you live your life day to day. It can be difficult to always be kind and to live according to God's word, but Jesus walks with you. He guides you. He will be the strength you need when those hard-to-be days come. If you're currently wrestling in your walk with Jesus or have a specific prayer request, we'd love to be a light for you. Feel free to reach out by calling us at 631-727-4112, and we'd be more than happy to pray for you. Again, that number is 631-727-4112. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear others from Pastor Dave, just visit cbcriverhead.org and click on the Sermons tab. Road to Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We're so thankful you've joined us today. If what you heard today was encouraging to you, we'd also like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. For directions and other information about Calvary Baptist Church, just visit our website. Again, that website was cbcriverhead.org. Come just as you are. We'd love to see you there. Well, our time with you is coming to an end, but we hope you'll join us again next time as we continue in this series with Pastor Dave, right here on Road to Calvary.